World This Week. I'm Doug Poling, CBS News, sitting in for Steve Young and reporting on the CBS Radio Network. World news was dominated this week by a natural disaster in Italy. A powerful earthquake shook towns and villages in northeast Italy, claiming hundreds of lives and wrecking many homes and historic monuments. It's feared that by the time rescue workers uncover all the debris, the death toll will reach 1,000. From Italy, Bob McNamara has a report.
Every year, Italy records more than 200 tremors, tremors that until now largely went ignored. Last Thursday, when the massive earthquake hit this region, the scale of the disaster was underestimated for the first few hours, underestimated by everyone but the people who live here. The death toll climbs every hour, and more than 100,000 are injured. The homeless, the refugees, are sleeping in tents and automobiles. Dozens of children are now orphans. The major concern at the moment is an epidemic. People in the region are being told to wear masks, to seek out cholera shots and vaccinations for typhoid fever. Everywhere there are reminders of death. At digging sites, caskets await the dead still thought to be trapped in the rubble. In a number of villages, the victims are being buried in mass graves. There are emotional wounds here that may never heal, and the physical scars will take years to repair. For those who can walk away from this area, the tragedy will soon be over. But for the people who live here, their personal histories will long be remembered by the earthquakes in early May. Bob McNamara, CBS News, Miano, Italy.
The United States government today announced it will provide about $353,000 to aid victims of the Italian quake. A new president for Lebanon has been seen by many as a key to settling the long, bitter civil war in that country. A new president was chosen yesterday, but it remains to be seen what this will do for peace. Mike Lee has a report from Beirut.
Time was running out for the Lebanese Leftist Alliance, which had managed to postpone the presidential election once in an effort to stall off a victory by right-wing forces. The week began with political and military pressure aimed at overcoming the Syrian-backed candidacy of conservative banker Ilias Sarkis. The liberal candidate, Ramon Edeh, and his chief supporter, Kamal Jumblatt, charged that Syria was trying to elect Sarkis by force. Heavy fighting continued off and on all week long, and by week's end, Jumblatt's forces, which had promised only a one-week delay, were now threatening to block the elections again, which had been reset for Saturday. But through a combination of Syrian pressure and right-wing impatience, the election was held. The leftists shelled the area of the parliament building, and both sides exchanged gunfire as the deputies arrived under heavy guard. After 3 tense hours, a quorum was reached, and the overwhelming vote went to Sarkis. Fighting intensified after the election, and some leftists attacked the hotel where the president-elect was staying. The attack was repelled by Syrian-based troops, and by last night, all was calm again. But the situation remains tense. The left is threatening continued protest and renewed fighting, and everyone is waiting to see if Ilias Sarkis will bring the country together again or widen the gap between the Christian right and the Muslim left. Mike Lee, CBS News, Beirut.
Secretary of State Kissinger came home on Friday following a two-week trip to Africa. Kissinger met with leaders of some of the black nations now poised for war against the white minority regime in Rhodesia. He declined any pledges of U.S. military aid for either side, but when he arrived back in Washington, expressed American concern about the region.
I went to a continent that was torn by racial and other conflict, in which foreign, mostly communist powers, we're beginning to exploit the tensions in which the hopes of the peoples were being increasingly frustrated, and the relationship between the United States and the Western world and that crucial continent were in jeopardy.
One of Kissinger's actions in Africa was to outline a proposal for the establishment of a $1 billion resources bank. Not only Africa, but other parts of the Third World would benefit. Kissinger said the bank would channel more capital into development projects. In the race for the White House, major interest this week was on the Republican side, where challenger Ronald Reagan surprised many by sweeping primaries in Indiana, Georgia, and Alabama. Late in the week, the president told voters in Nebraska he's not giving up, while Reagan was sounding more and more confident.
The fight to achieve the presidency for the next 4 years begins anew right here in Nebraska. And it's a fight that's going to be continued until we prevail and are successful in Kansas City in August of this year.
I have to tell you now, due to the last few days, they have so far exceeded our projections. the Louisiana delegation pledged, not uncommitted, because I believe it is possible to go to the convention now with enough delegates to win on the first ballot.
The success of Reagan seemed to demonstrate that persistence is worth it, even though many people once thought the former California governor had little chance. Terry Drinkwater reports on the Reagan effort.
He moved out ahead of President Ford in committed convention delegates, and by the end of this last campaign trip, he was boldly predicting a first ballot nomination over the incumbent without even a floor fight at the Republican National Convention. Reagan did it all with essentially the same speech and the same issues he started with in New Hampshire. They finally caught on. His best thrust was the Panama Canal. Again and again, he said, we bought it, we paid for it, it's ours, and we're going to keep it. It isn't so much that people in the primary states care about the canal as such. It's just that the canal is a simple, symbolic, patriotic issue which has rallied voters to the Reagan cause. In the week ahead, Reagan will be stumping in Michigan, Mr. Ford's home state. Victory for Reagan there could cripple the president's candidacy. Mr. Ford is believed to be ahead, but conservative Democrats could cross over into the Republican primary and vote for Reagan. Wallace was once strong in Michigan, and his supporters might just go in massive numbers to Reagan. Terry Drinkwater, CBS News, Los Angeles.
On the Democratic side, the Jimmy Carter steamroller rolled on this week. The former Georgia governor won more delegates and got some key endorsements. Carter won in the District of Columbia, Indiana, and Georgia, failing to carry only Alabama, George Wallace's home state. In a late-night victory statement election evening, Carter smiled back to the time when he first announced his intention to run.
I remember when I announced for president in December of 1974, there was a major headline on the editorial page of the Atlanta Constitution that said, Jimmy Carter is running for what? And the what was about this big. I'm running for president. And I don't intend to lose.
Late in the week, Carter won the backing of a major labor figure. The endorsement came from Leonard Woodcock, president of the United Auto Workers Union. There were more congressional reports this week about past abuses of the FBI. There were reports about eavesdropping on thousands of American citizens and about the use of paid informers. In a speech yesterday in Missouri, FBI Director Clarence Kelly said he wanted to apologize for some of this activity.
We are truly sorry that we were responsible for instances which are now subject to such criticism. I could provide some reasons why we took certain actions. I could provide some reasons that we would think were important, but more important than giving explanations is the fact that we need to make it clearly understood that we recognize errors and have learned from them.
Among the revelations made this week about the FBI, a report by the Senate Intelligence Committee said an FBI informer's work was the chief source of information leading to the 1969 Chicago police raid in which Fred Hampton, a leader of the Black Panthers, was killed. And that's The World This Week, produced by Harry Poloshin. I'm Doug Poling, CBS News.